At what point do you think, I don't know how long your rehearsal is, weeks long?
No, that's terribly rude. But no, 21 weeks. 21 weeks. And it's not just rehearsal, of course, it's making the play. But I mean, when you say 8 weeks, I shouldn't be so quick to say no, because of course making the play is 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, actually making the play.
So
halfway through, we decide what we're doing, we build a rehearsal set, and we work on the rehearsal set and create the play.
So that's
and
what that's, I was
yes,
wondering.
At what
point do you think that you knew which direction it was going in, the period it was going in, kind of or 6 weeks in?
A bit later than that.
Yes.
So it's sort of halfway through.
And then you
it's
can
like
really
a seesaw, you know, go up to the middle, and then you know what you're doing, and you come down the other side. But it's constant. I mean, you every day is full of new information that helps you make another decision. You know,
you go on tinkering with it right up to the opening.
Well, you don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea what you know. We have a shape. But then we do scene one, and then we know about scene one. But that's all we know about. I mean, you know, at that point, I don't know whether scene one is going to be one of two scenes, and the whole of the rest of the play is going to be, I don't know, Christmas Day the following year. And that could be a two-hour scene, for all I know. You know, when the next scene is something else. You still don't know what... You don't even know... I mean, because designing normally is a great... It's a relationship with the whole shape of the play, which you start, especially in opera, and you've got finite time, you know what's happening, you know how big the last act is, you know how big the center, you know how, where she kills herself in the middle of the journey, you know exactly, there's a shape and a graph and a... and you don't have this until it's finished.
Do you enjoy this? There are many, must be many theatre designers who couldn't work in this way.
I don't know about that, but I do enjoy it, yeah. I have to say, the very first one I did, Ecstasy, I found that very, very... I would be honest and say difficult. The Americans would say challenging. But anyway, I mean, no, it was extremely difficult because I hadn't had the experience before, although I'd worked in Stoke with creating lots
with
of documentaries.
Peter Cheeseman.
Yeah, with Peter Cheeseman, creating lots of documentaries, creating lots of pieces of work where, you know, we had thousands of pieces of paper, which the day before we started rehearsal, he would just a line of dialogue would be written on a small piece of paper, and I can remember seeing him walking across the stage, which was covered with sheets of dialogue, and he'd place the line in because we were trying to build up script. So it wasn't that I'd never worked in that kind of way. And interestingly, since doing both those kinds of pieces of work, I've worked a lot with new writing, lots with and a lot in new opera too, where I have no idea where I'm going and I'm working on it, you know, before it exists and all that sort of thing.
And is it the same process when you're working on the films with Mike? I mean, with
it is. It's more complicated. It's more complicated. I haven't done the clothes on the films. I've just been the production designer. But certainly, the same process at its heart, which is working very, very closely with Mike, working very, very closely with the performers, and then developing things and sort of using one's instinct. And I mean, you know, a lot of it is, of course, that I don't know how to say this exactly, but you know, there's phenomenal trust between us. You know, when I show him things, he's you know,
you've built that up over
yeah,
the years, haven't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
And do you think you share the same values in some kind
oh,
of your
yeah.
yes, I
lots
mean,
of things,
yes,
with lots and lots of things.
I mean,
yeah.
your
yeah.
attitude to life and the values that
yes.
you think are important.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we were
that's
great chums as well. I mean,
yes.
that's also developed over the years. Yeah, and we're great friends.
Because I mean, his work has been, I was going to say, rooted in kind of social realism. I know you probably would say no, it's not socialism. You've just said it's not social realism, but his work is abstracted social realism
yeah.
in a sense.
I think they're
it?
Very difficult, these labels. I
know.
I always feel nervous about them. Partly because I'm not quite sure what other people mean by them, but I find them difficult. I just think
it's attention to detail.
Yes, yeah. But and it's marvellous work, and it you know is there is this amazing acting that comes out of developing characters in this particular kind of way.
I mean, I felt Ecstasy was designed very differently, that it's there's something more abstract in the design of Ecstasy as opposed to Grief, which has got such extraordinary period detail in it.
But then I suppose, you know, because when we did Ecstasy to begin with, that was the period we were in. We've just come back to it.
1979.
And we've just come back to it. And, of course, now it's a period piece. And one of the things that was most difficult coming back to it was making it so it wasn't, you know, a sort of retro chic, you know, which would be so easily done. I mean, when we were buying clothes for Ecstasy, there were posters everywhere saying, dress like Beverly, you know, and there were jokes about Abigail's party stuck up in the retro clothes shops, you know, and you just think, yeah, but these are people. You know,
yes.
And of course, Beverly was a person, but I mean, you know, it would have been wrong to make it that. It would have been completely wrong to have made it this.
Did you change your design at all at Hampstead?
No, it was a strange experience. I don't know how many pieces I've done that I wouldn't mind seeing 30 years later, but it seemed absolutely right. Strange.
Very odd, isn't it? Yes, revisiting something. Tell me just a little bit about how did you start in theatre design? Somebody told me that your parents were very instrumental in getting Hampstead Theatre started.
Well,
are they connected? Those
big supporters. Big supporters. And then my parents were great theatre goers, and my mother particularly. And I have to say, as a tiny young child, I was taken to the theatre on Tuesday nights. My father was a clergyman, so his day off was Tuesday, and we went to the theatre every Tuesday, and I was often taken because it was sort of cheaper than sitting in the gods was cheaper than having a babysitter. So I went for many, many years, sat in the gods, and that was my introduction to everything. I mean, I saw Joan Sutherland in Lucia because my parents had flu, and, you know, I was 12 or 14 or something, and I was given the tickets and sent with my babysitter. Well, I did have a babysitter that time, and to sell the other tickets that we had. So, I mean, I've just been to the theatre all my life. And in many ways, I feel confused about how this could possibly have happened, but I didn't really understand there were theatre designers. I know that seems unbelievable, but
no,
I didn't.
At all. No.
And I think partly because I watched theatre and I went into it. I remember talking to Percy Harris, who founded Motley, when she invited me to take over the course, and we were talking about her career and what she'd done, and she said, oh, one of her favourites was designing Ross, which was a play
with Alec Guinness, which was about T.E. Lawrence, wasn't it?
About T.E. Lawrence, exactly. And I was describing this moment to her of me seeing it and saying that this had been one of the most extraordinary experiences of being absolutely inside a theatre experience, when I saw Alec Guinness leaning against the proscenium. And he had sort of delirium tremens, and the rest of, there were five or seven beds, I could draw it for you now, seven beds on the stage, and one of them had the covers turned back, all the rest of the soldiers were asleep, and Alec Guinness leant against the proscenium and sort of rocked and looked desperately ill. And I can remember thinking, look, somebody needs to do something, you know, this man isn't very well. You know, because I was in it, you know. Well, I mean, and I remember telling Percy that, and she said, yeah, I designed that. I thought, yeah, that's all right. We can take over Motley now. But, no, I went to the theatre all my childhood. And then when my father took over the parish in Hampstead, we were just around the corner. And Jimmy Rhys Evans was setting it all up, and my mother did the garden for the new theatre, that not the one that's there now, this is, you know, in the 60s. She created the garden around the old Hampstead Theatre, and my father tiled the kitchen, and we were all volunteers. You know, I used to do envelopes, I tore tickets, and, you know, it was a modest setup, but doing brilliant, brilliant work. And I went to the theatre even more doing that.
So what turned you to design?
Well, I'd no idea there were designers, but I'd always wanted to go to art school. I was, you know, I've told this story many times, but in the end, you know, when you go to the art class and everybody tells you you're brilliant, and you go back to maths and they say you're not so good, You know, you think, well, I think I'll stick with this one. Yes. You don't say, well, I'm going to beat mass then and spend my rest of my life being hopeless
so
at mass.
A talent you that know. You had and you followed
yeah,
it through.
Yeah, and I've always, I mean, I'm an only child. I'd spent my entire life drawing and chopping out pictures and sticking them in books and cutting them. I now think all I was doing was putting them in little proscenium arch frames, you know, images. And,
yes.
But, yeah, so I went to art school. I still didn't know what I wanted to do. And I had a very brilliant tutor called John Dougal. And I've recently met him again after all these years because I hunted him down when I had my exhibition here at the National last year.
Which was last year.
And
yes.
I was determined to find him, and I found him, and I took him around the exhibition. It was absolutely fantastic. But anyway, John is totally responsible for being able to see that I had this love of the theatre, and I was also trying to make things, draw things, paint things. And he said, why don't you go and look at this exhibition at Central School of Art, and where Ralph Coulthard was teaching and who opened my exhibition.
Yes.
And he said, why don't you go and look at this exhibition? It's quite interesting. And they're trying to get, it's another ludicrous education thing, but he was at that time Wimbledon was the one that everybody thought was the best school for teaching theatre. And Central didn't have the proper right to teach theatre until it was again properly accredited by somebody, and they decided this exhibition was to try and get accredited. And I went to see the exhibition, and there was work of John Napier in it, and I think he'd made some rocks, and they were covered with Zebrite.
What is Zebrite?
Zebrite is metal polish for metal grates, and so they were slightly metallic looking. You've got to remember this is the 60s. And there were also some costumes made out of bin liners with foam rubber and nuts and bolts stuck on them. I don't know who designed those. Anyway, I just thought that was fantastic. And I thought I could do that. And I went back to John and I said, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'd like to do that. And then I applied and I got in. I still had a bumpy time. I kept thinking, should I be doing this or not?
Yes.
And I went back to, because I also got in to do painting at St. Martin's. And then I went back to see them and they were all painting goldfish. And so you also have to remember that was the 60s, so they were all sort of looked like they were completely stone, moving, painting, moving orange objects on the canvas, you know, I mean, anyway. And I thought, no, I don't think so. And I went back to the theatre, and, you know, I had a great time at Central, and then won this Arts Council bursary to Stoke, and that's where we came in with the...
Right. I mean, you've won so many awards. Looking through your biog, Alison, what has given you the most? I mean, you've won Olivier Awards. You've won an award recently, didn't you, for the development of theatre designers. What has given you the most pleasure, looking back on a 40-year career, 40-something? What has given you most pleasure?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean,
just being involved in it?
I don't know. I think what I mean, theatre has educated me in a way. I mean, I was very lucky. I went to good schools, and I was, you know, had parents who were interested in everything and showed me the world and all that. But I've continued to be educated by every single thing I've done every day in my life. I've learned something. I've had to investigate things. You know, you do Luther, you have to find out about that whole world.
Yeah.
You know, you do, you know, whatever it is. You know, learning about life in Strawberry Hill in 1957. You know, I don't know. And there's a sort of, I think there's that whole thing about being educated constantly by the job you've ended up doing. I've travelled the world because of the job I've done. And that's also been absolutely fantastic. The people I've met has been absolutely incredible. Again, all over the world. People who are passionate about their jobs and working hard and doing brilliant work. And of course, in our business, you don't do it on your own, and there is something absolutely marvellous, although it is at the same time the most frustrating thing, working with hundreds of different people or constantly making new relationships with people who don't,
changing their minds.
Everything. I mean, you know, but I think this is a great rambling answer to your question, but I mean, another thing that I really get a buzz out of is the sort of sorting out the chaos and somehow making it have some form.
Yes.
And making it into something, and what it is in the end is what it is.
Yes.
And the chaos is the random group of people you're working with, the budget, the, you know, the theatre, the play, the language, the fact that we don't know how it ends, you know, whether, you know, that I don't know, or that, I mean, you know, I just suddenly think about being in Stoke once when we had the miners' strike and we had no electricity for 5 days a week. But Peter Cheeseman, of course, decided that we would still play every day and still put on plays because he thought that was important. And we lit the entire thing with a whole series of car lamps run off batteries over the top of the stage. And I had to turn the set over and paint it cream. It had been a sort of rather dark, wonderful, rich, tomatoey red. This for a production of Hedda Gabler. And just dealing with the whole situation, turning it over, having it cream, lit by car lamps, you know, and somehow or other, you know, you just thought, yeah, quite right. You know, I don't know, it's all that. And it's somehow making things work, making things, sorting them out and getting them in their most essential form. I mean, sorting them out is not just a practical thing. It is refining whatever is need, distilling it to its most essential form, and within that, dealing with all the nonsense, you know,
what
the difficulties.
What would you feel is there still left for you to accomplish?
Oh, it? Everything. I mean, every day is another marvellous set of different things. That, you know, I mean, if you could live forever, you'd carry on doing this forever and doing,
yes,
you know,
yes,
doing, you know, what I mean is that there's always something, you know, that, you know, I happened to look at my shelf of CDs the other day, and I went, Street Scene, yeah, I'd really like to do that.
Yes.
You know, and you just,
yes.
I don't sit around thinking, oh God, I'd like to do that, because I'm always doing lots of wonderful things, I'm very lucky. But, you know, I thought, oh yeah, a bit of that would be good. And, I mean, and there's all the things you don't even know about, that, you know, that every day is another possibility of designing or sorting out. I mean, actors are often asked, well, you know, what roles would they like to play and everything. I mean, and I have absolutely no idea. I think, I mean, it's always interesting, whatever, you know.
I mean, I said that perhaps one of the aims would be perhaps to assure the future of Motley.
Well, we're working hard at that.
Yes.
And of course, that's very, very important. It's very important to us.
And to you personally.
It is. It really is. And, I mean, you know, one of the part of the meeting today was to try and talk about what the essential qualities are of a school like that. And, you know, in the end, the most important thing for us was to be able to be independent and teach in the way that we believe is right.
Mm.
You know, and one of the things we've been talking about today was, would one have a... We don't have a marking system at Motley at all. And it's of no interest to me to say to someone, you have passed or you have failed. In fact, I'm determined never to say to anybody, you have failed. I mean, I failed my 11 plus twice and my O-level art. You know, I mean, luckily enough, you know, I had enough support and encouragement to keep on trucking. But, you know, I mean... students who don't do well in one area, you find out 2 seconds later they're doing some fantastic, I don't know, they're achieving something in a specific area that's absolutely brilliant and suits them down to the ground. And I mean, what good would it have done them to tell them that they've failed in one aspect of the course? I mean, anyway,
yes,
I'd say,
yes,
you know, it's those sort of things. And you think, if we live in a world where that's where it's not possible to have a school where you don't say you have passed and you have failed, you know, very simple, small things like that. I mean, one of my passions is having the front door key. So nobody can tell me, you have to go home now, or you have to start work now, or you have to do this, or you have to, you know. I mean, we're very tough on discipline at Motley, but I want to have that freedom to be able to do it the best way, for what we consider is the best way.
Yes.
And we don't have to say anything except look at the students and look at the results and look at the fantastic work that's come out of Motley over the years.
Certainly. My last question then, and I'll just bring this to a close, is what is your next project? Is the next project with Mike? Have you got one? Or you're having a little break?
No, not at the moment.
No. Is it an opera perhaps?
Yes, I'm working on Nabucco at the moment, which is...
which will be where?
Well, it's a co-production between La Scala, which is the first time I've worked there, and Covent Garden. So that's very, very nice. And then I'm also working on Parsifal.
And those would be comparatively...
Covent Garden.
Comparatively,
huge.
Well, they'd be
but
huge.
But we do know how they, finish.
Comparatively conventional in terms
well,
of...
Well, we know how they start and how they finish, and we know what they sound like. And, so that's very exciting. One of them with... Nabucco's with Daniele Albardo, who I've recently done Rialetto with. And the Parsifal is with Stephen Langridge, who we did the Minotaur together at the Opera House.
Wonderful. Well,
so very nice to have those ahead.
In the offing.
Yeah,
well,
great.
Long may you continue. Thank you very, very much indeed.
Oh, thank you very much.